Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is the broadcast for February the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour 2 at 2, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Last hour, we talked a lot about this. Donald Trump administration is launching a worldwide effort to decriminalize homosexuality around the world. It's led by U.S. German Ambassador Richard Purnell. He's the highest profile openly gay member of the Trump administration. They're going to back into the United Nations and all kinds of places for this discussion. And the problem is, I can't stand on my beliefs without eventually being completely shut down as a bigot and a hater and an enemy. And that's the problem. And if I speak up, then they say that I'm homophobic or that I'm transphobic or that I'm whatever. And there's just no way to win with the arguments of the enemies, in my opinion. The stronger the perversion, the greater the status. And anybody who is on the lower part of the totem pole, who used to be lauded as fantastic and favored, and now they're starting to get the barbecue, too, to prove the point. So LGBT sports group expels, and I don't even know how to say this Martina lady's name, but nevertheless, because she's got transgender criticism. She says that it's insane to let these people compete, these men masquerading as women. So you're not allowed to put on blackface. Whiteface is fine. But this gender thing, you're not allowed to. Well, you can change genders, just not races, right? But then she's saying, this lesbian tennis player is saying, this is insane. Men can't be women and compete. And now you got the lesbians pitted against the transgenders in a way that the transgenders, quote, are higher on the totem pole right now. So this woman got kicked out of this sports group for speaking out and saying, this is insane. Well, honesty is the issue. And we've mentioned that for years, Kurt, and we double down on that right now. Because the next headline talks about a state legislator in Kansas. He's a Republican named Randy Garber. Do you got the details on this one, Kurt? Do you know what this Randy Garber guy's doing?
Let's see. I'm not remembering this.
All right, he has generated a big, massive controversy, Kurt, because he's got a proposed new law. Okay?
Uh-huh.
He wants all computers and phones sold within his state, the state of Kansas, to block pornography by default, sir. All right, so now they're going against him big time. And what he says is, listen, they ought to have filters on these phones. And by default, it ought to be blocked because that way it won't harm women and children and youngsters and such. And if you want to bypass this, then you can pay a $20 fee and get the filters taken off or whatever. And the $20 fee would be put into, the sexual exploitation and things that happen fund, if you kind of a thing, to protect people and everything. Well, there's a big, massive controversy about this, Kurt. And the article ends with, why wouldn't you want to protect people from the start? In other words, if a phone's got to have a default, what should it be and who should decide that? And, I'm torn on this a little bit because I don't like to legislate morality. But at the same time, I say, hey, can you have a phone that has access to all this stuff and it gets sold to a 16 or a 17-year-old or an unsuspecting person? We've got this moral imperative in society. Where you got to decide where are you going to stand on this and where should the societal stance be, right?
This guy is really a problem, though, Sam.
Of course he is.
I mean, a while back he even said that school prayer will fix education.
See what I mean? This guy's just dangerous. See, this guy doesn't really, in the modern world of this acceptance by perversion, the greater the perversion, the stronger the position or acceptance right now. This guy doesn't stand a chance. I mean, he wants to pray. He's probably a Christian. I bet he's white. I bet he has a wife and children. This guy's the most extreme bigot you could find legislatively. In fact, he needs to be removed. A referendum to get him out of there or something. That's how these people are going to go, Kurt. But he's literally saying, look, we ought to not make pornography the default in America. This stuff is dangerous and hostile and evil, and the societal ramifications are beyond study and debate at this point. I mean, it's clear pornography ruins families, Kurt. And at what point is there an imperative for the proper role of limited government to stand on the side of morality versus legislating morality. I mean, there's a fine line there. But I actually think he's on to something wise. Why can't we? And maybe we don't need a law to do this. Maybe we ought to just work on these phone manufacturers from the court of public opinion and say, hey, we think that the greater majority of our Christian values can stand up right now, Kurt, and say, we think you ought to make these defaults protecting of children in society. And I think in the court of public opinion, we could get it done without a law, Kurt.
You know, it looks like he might not be the original guy on this. You know, I'm seeing one headline from, it says January 22nd, Arizona bill would charge porn consumers $20 to fund Trump's, and then it goes on, I suppose it's border wall. But, you know, in other words, I think folks are realizing, like the Catholic News Agency says, Arizona bill seeks to tax access to online pornography. You know, so this is, you know.
And I'm not really for taxing the other guy necessarily. What I mean is I don't really want to put a bunch of money in the government coffers so the government has an agenda here. Hey, let's promote pornography and let's, you know, fuel the access to it by a big, you know, war chest for government. I'm concerned about that, right? And I've criticized that when it comes to alcohol and marijuana and drugs and everything else. But at the same time, I say, you know, the guy's onto something that, hey, pornography is a scourge to the family, Kurt. And at some point, just like I'm against abortion and gambling, at some point, some of these societal ills that are proven to be family destructive. I'm not so sure that the government should, one, stay out of it, or two, in some ways, kind of back it or promote it in a roundabout way called taxation. It's just a way to get the government on board and take part in the spoils, as far as I can see. But we need to do something, and I appreciate this guy's call to bring attention to the scourge of pornography, first of all. Secondly, I think in the court of public opinion, we could go a long way if enough people were in the media that had a moral compass that were willing to talk about this. I mean, if somebody could work with me and create radio commercials that I could run that would highlight the ills of pornography and the evils and the destructive nature of pornography on individuals and families. And I mean, we could run those. Just think if every media organization in the country or in the world or whatever were to talk about how evil pornography is. And then there is some degree of safeguards, meaning that if you're peddling this porn, there's laws against putting women and children and these sexual behaviors. Well, this comes right back, Kurt, to the very discussion we started with. The Trump administration is launching a worldwide effort to decriminalize homosexual behavior. How long will it be until, hey, pornography is decriminalized and then children pornography is decriminalized? And in other words, where do you draw the line? And then the enemies would say, well, Sam, how dare you? How dare you put the gay same-sex attraction issue near child molestation? How dare you associate those two? And my response is, well, what about a man becomes a woman and then a man wants to go in the bathroom with little girls in like Target and such, and then there's all these abuses that take place. What about all that? Well, Sam, that's a pervert, but you can't blame that on the person that just happens to be born gay. That, okay, see, now we're debating things, though, where, hey, we're just debating the level of perversion that our society accepts. And the greater level of perversion then says, well, we're not, just because we're transgender now, and we're against the lesbians are the bad guys. And then pretty soon it's like, well, at what age is it okay to choose whether you're transgender or gay or, and then you get, and pretty soon what you do is erode the laws. And while they're eroding the laws that would protect our society from these ills, then what we do is we erode or get rid of all those laws. But then we start putting laws in place that defend and protect them, right? So this guy now is on a bender to decriminalize homosexuality. But what it really is there's a right called a gay right. There's going to be a right called a transgender right. There's going to be eventually a right that's a pedophile right. And you say, Sam, you're just crazy. That can't be. I'm telling you, that's where it's headed. If you don't believe me, go research the Convention on the Rights of the Child. You could say that I'm crazy, but I'm telling you, as it continues, I will say, told you so. Okay, anyway, I commend Randy Garber, and I commend a lot of these people that are trying to highlight this issue. I may be a little bit hesitant about their tactics, Kurt, but they're spot on the threat to the family, the threat to individuals, and a God-ordained one-man, one-woman relationship. All those real issues are in the crosshairs in the culture war with these discussions, Kurt.
Couldn't agree more, Sam.
All right, Donald Trump's calls to change libel laws that make it difficult to sue journalists or comedians may have found a sympathetic ear now, Kurt. Looks like Clarence Thomas, Justice, is basically saying we ought to review this New York Times versus Sullivan case, where you got to have
it's
a kind of...
because I was just getting ready to send you that.
Where you got
to
have a heightened...
piece. I was like, wow.
You got to have a heightened, abuse for popular people or celebrities or comedians or journalists or... In other words, if you're a special, quote, class, high profile, in other words, then to prove libel and slander is a higher bar that's set by this 1964 ruling or whatever. And Clarence Thomas is saying, we need to revisit this. This is bogus. And so now we're starting to finally see some traction on what Donald talked about before the elections. And I praise President Trump and I praise Clarence Thomas for this. But the ball is certainly rolling way too slow for me. But it is good news. And it is important that we realize there's no constitutional provision that says if you're high profile, there needs to be a greater or higher bar than everybody else in society. And we go right back to this constitutionality, and that's where Clarence Thomas goes with the discussion as well. When we get back, Kurt will break it down even more for you. But I'm telling you, this issue is good news. And it's something that I've been saying, where's the Donald on this for quite a while? And now we're starting to see some traction. We the people could give it a whole lot more traction if we stick together. And especially the new media taking center stage can highlight and give this issue clarity and traction. We'll do it in seconds.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused border agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
Yeah, this is David in engineering.
This is your wife in suburbia.
Oh, hi, hon. What's up?
How's the robot coming?
Well, he doesn't exactly respond to requests yet, but I'm...
Well, I know how frustrating that can be.
You do?
Uh-huh. I'm still waiting for my romantic lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
David.
Well, I must not have enough memory allocated.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
You know, your son said mama today.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, we'll have to have that sound chip changed to Dada.
Well, you could reprogram it yourself, you know.
I know. Hey, why don't we do it over lunch today?
Oh, you really are brilliant.
Thanks. You want me to bring the robot?
David.
He can order pasta in 11 languages.
Only if he pays for his own lunch.
Okay. Oh, don't forget to bring Chip.
I still wish we hadn't named him that.
Well, why? It beats General Default.
Oh.
Family. Isn't it about time?
Do you know that a baby processes information 3 times faster than an adult?
An adult what?
Engineer. Funny.
I'll see you at noon.
I can't wait.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, so libel laws are being discussed finally, thank heavens, to Clarence Thomas. Now, this is an interesting kind of an idea. Isn't Clarence black, Kurt?
Yes, he is.
Not that I care. By the way, he's conservative, and I agree with his points many times. I think he's a great guy. Nevertheless, it's interesting. I thought Donald hated all the blacks and stuff like that, and now Donald and Clarence are working together, buddy. Don't you dig it?
And Ben Carson's even hanging out with him. But
well,
see,
I don't think Ben Carson's
wrong
on this issue, though.
No, but he hangs out with Donald Trump. And,
of course he does.
You know,
but those are just a couple
the problem
of token
is
for the Donald.
That's right.
That's
and
how
they're
they
what
lie,
they call,
right?
What do they call them? The
Uncle Tom's?
The plantation.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, heck yeah. And, the bottom line, though, is this. Hey, all their divisive agenda and their apologies and their... set it aside, folks. All I'm telling you is good people are working together for a good cause, right?
Yep. Good point.
All right, you got more on this Clarence stuff?
Yeah, the this is from the Reuters piece on it. And basically, you know, Justice Thomas has, you know, come out and says he urged the U.S. Supreme Court to reconsider the landmark 1964 ruling that made it harder for public figures to sue for defamation. It's a precedent that has served as powerful protection for the news media. He took aim at the unanimous ruling in the libel case known as New York Times Co. versus Sullivan in an opinion he wrote concurring with the court's decision to end a defamation suit against Bill Cosby. Thomas, one of the high court's most conservative justices, said the 55-year-old decision was not rooted in the U.S. Constitution. That ruling and subsequent ones extending it were policy-driven decisions masquerading as constitutional law. That's what he wrote, expressing views in harmony with President Donald Trump, who often attacks the media and has advocated making it easier to sue news organizations and publishers for defamation. Those are words right from the Reuters, you know, story. So that's, you can tell they're saying, you know, their twist on this. It says Thomas agreed with his fellow justices in refusing to consider reviving a defamation lawsuit against Cosby. Tells, you know, a little more about that, but then it says, you know, about President Trump back in January of 2018 calling a current defamation laws a sham and a disgrace. Our Reuters piece says the High Court's 64 ruling held that in order to win a libel suit, the plaintiff must demonstrate that the offending statement was made with actual malice, meaning knowledge that it was false or reckless disregard as to whether it was false. The case involved a lawsuit against the New York Times, a newspaper that Trump often criticizes for its coverage of him. Thomas wrote that, quote, "We should carefully examine the original meaning of the First and 14th Amendments," referring to the constitutional provisions protecting freedom of speech, freedom of the
press.
Anyway,
the battle's
the
on.
Application.
Yeah. The battle's on. Good for Clarence Thomas. Good for Donald Trump for highlighting this. They were too late for our buddy, the James Edwards case. A journalist said that James Edwards was a leader of the KKK, and James sued over it and lost. They said, hey, James is too high profile, and based on this Aesop's fable or whatever, the company you keep is the problem. So anyway, but James has never been involved in the KKK in his entire life, not only to mention not a leader, but not even a member. In fact, he doesn't even agree with the KKK. But nevertheless, it stuck. And that's Donald's point. And Clarence Thomas is doing a great job to highlight this. However, I hope it's not too late for the next case, which is Covington student sues Washington Post for $250 million. Kurt?
Yeah. That's a great point, Sam, and that's one of the big headlines for today. And I don't know for sure what'll happen, but you know, the Washington Post. I think this is the only thing you can really do is take it to the courts and hope that you can get a redress of grievances.
Yeah, we're not really for lawsuits in general, ladies and gentlemen, but at some point you've got to try to stop these people. Look, they made it sound like these Catholic students were bigoted and hate-filled and were starting this violent agenda, and none of it was true. And the mainstream press went with it hook, line, and sinker. It's kind of like how the media went with the Smollett case, where they're like, hey, man, they're attacking gays and black people. It's not even true. There wasn't a bunch of white people running around yelling MAGA. It isn't even true. Okay, and so this is the problem, is that when they're literally promoting things that they know to be false, what do you do about it? You got to stop them. James Edwards has never been a member of the KKK, much less a leader. And I think the author of the article against James Edwards knew it. But hey, they said it anyway. And now the bottom line is there's not even a redress of grievances. James Edwards has got to live with that for the rest of his life. And more and more and more organizations will just look at the back of that core article and the court's decision and say, we can say that about James all we want to. We can continue to lie. We've been given permission to lie and backing for the lie by the courts now. I mean, it is insane. So good for Clarence Thomas. Good for President Trump. Good for Americans working together. And a good for the Covington student that's going to sue for $250 million. Suing the WAPO, Washington Post, and I hope there's success in that. that sends a clear message that media folks, you just can't do this kind of stuff. All right, U.S. sanctions on Venezuelan oil. Now, I told you that we ought to not put sanctions on Venezuela. We ought to stay out of it and avoid the foreign entanglements, and I pray we certainly don't go to war there and pick our favorite socialist to back. That's a tragedy in the making, but it's getting worse by the day, Kurt. And it turns out that U.S. sanctions on Venezuelan oil could have problems for output of U.S. refineries at home as well. Did you know that?
How's that work?
So? Yeah, it's a great question because I had to study for like 10 minutes to figure this out, Kurt. Because when I saw the headline, I'm like, what? How can that have an effect at home? It seems like the less output we have of those guys, the greater output would have at home. But no, not true. Here's why. Louisiana's refineries require the kind of oil that Venezuela produces to operate properly. In other words, you got to have the kind of dirty oil that the Venezuela produces to produce the clean oil that we produce. And it requires that dirty oil or that core oil to do it. And so, hey, if we can't get that, then our output's going to reduce too. So it's a very strange dichotomy that I didn't even understand before, but it's an interesting twist. But again, it just goes to why should we be involved in the foreign entanglement in the first place?
Right.
Give them a copy of the Constitution and start a GoFundMe account and say, hey, y'all, let's fund the constitutionalists over there not by government, not by force, not by war, but by charitable kindness and example and proper leadership. Maybe the German ambassador should go down to Venezuela as an ambassador and quit promoting the gay agenda and try to promote the Constitution of Venezuela, Kurt. You know. All right, facing a future demographic crisis. Who you ask? China. China is facing a future demographic crisis. And they're facing an aging society, Kurt. China's leaders are now desperately seeking to persuade couples to have more children. I kid you not, this is the communist nation of China. As you know, in the 1980s, the notorious one-child policy came into effect, mandating brutal punishments for violators, ranging from forced abortions and sterilizations to fines and demotions at jobs, etc. But fast forward 35 years, folks, and the radical change of course is underway. It was ordered by dictatorial leaders after leaders realized an aging population and a declining workforce threatens to hamstring the country's further development. In 2016, the one-child policy was abandoned and officially replaced with a, quote, two-child policy. And Chinese couples were urged to multiply and go forth within government-mandated limits. But they say the bump in the birth rate was fleeting, the Associated Press reports. In other words, they're not able to turn it around fast enough with even two children. Because, again, two children is not even replacement levels, Kurt. So the bottom line is the government murderous manipulation of God's law is now having such repercussions that the Chinese government is reversing course. Now they're begging people to have children. And I think we should have just, stood on God's law to multiply and replenish the earth. And that law's never been rescinded, Kurt. And if we wouldn't have tampered, China wouldn't be in this crisis at all. So I thought that was worth highlighting because it's interesting. Now the communist nation of China is literally begging people to have kids. Man, God invited a man and a woman to get married and welcome children into their God-ordained relationship. That's been the case for thousands of years, Kurt. And I think it's wise today. And the wrong-headed viewpoints of communist dictators, even those folks are starting to see somewhat of the truth. I know that's crazy, but it's somewhat good news, right? Weird stuff.
Amen to that.
It's just weird stuff, but I'm just saying, I wish we could take a page out of that playbook in America that God said multiply and replenish the earth, and that has not been rescinded. Maybe we ought to do that in America too, Kurt, before we're on the same collision course with fate as China, right? Glad we got a heads up on it, huh?
Pursuing liberty. Using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Russia's president is now warning the United States not to deploy short or mid-range nuclear weapons anywhere in Europe. Vladimir Putin saying that Russia wouldn't make the first move but would respond to any escalation by Washington. President Trump recently pulled America out of a Cold War-era nuclear treaty that barred the development and deployment of such weapons. Mississippi going forward with one of the most restrictive abortion laws in the nation, according to the governor, Phil Bryant, who says he'll sign the law that would ban most abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected.
We're going to try to stop it here in Mississippi and other states around the nation. If you look at Ohio, Governor DeWine has said he will sign that bill at Governor Kasich's veto. Florida, Tennessee, right. The movement is spreading, and we're very proud to help begin it.
Speaking there on Fox and Friends, and this is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Confidence expressed by President Trump as he defends his declaration of a national emergency at the border, now being challenged by at least one lawsuit, with several more expected. The president saying he's confident he will prevail.
I have an absolute right to call national security. We need strong borders. We have to stop drugs and crime and criminals and human trafficking, and we have to stop all of those things that a strong wall will stop.
Independent Senator Bernie Sanders beating other Democratic presidential candidates in fundraising just hours after he announces. The Vermont senator's campaign says it's raised more than $3.3 million from 120,000 donors since Sanders announced his campaign yesterday morning. That's more than double the amount raised by the previous top fundraiser, California Senator Kamala Harris. A big winter storm is slamming every state east of the Mississippi. Over 1,000 air flights have been canceled today. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, back with you live. Hard-hitting talk radio always at your fingertips when Liberty Roundtable is live. I'm telling you right now. We've been talking about all kinds of things. We've been talking about male and female, created he, them, that's God. We've been talking about this issue where the Trump administration, sadly, is launching a worldwide effort to decriminalize homosexuality around the world. The problem is the most prominent gay, what do you want to call it, advocate is on the international stage representing the Trump administration. I mean, it's disaster. And anyway, we've talked a lot about male and female. We've talked a lot about gender discussions today, et cetera, et cetera. But Kurt wanted to kind of wrap it all up with a statement from a man by the name of Dallin H. Oaks. Kurt?
Yeah, and just so you know who he is, ladies and gentlemen, he's a former Supreme Court of the justice in the state of Utah on the Utah Supreme Court. Now he's a church leader for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But to me, he you know, gives this info in a talk that he gave called Truth and the Plan. And he says, "We are beloved children of a Heavenly Father who has taught us that maleness and femaleness, marriage between a man and a woman, and the bearing and nurturing of children are all essential to his great plan of happiness. Our positions on these fundamentals frequently provoke opposition to the church. We consider that inevitable. Opposition is part of the plan. And Satan's most strenuous opposition is directed at whatever is most important to God's plan. He seeks to destroy God's work. His prime methods are to discredit the Savior and his divine authority, to erase the effects of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to discourage repentance, to counterfeit revelation, and to contradict individual accountability. He also seeks to confuse gender, to distort marriage, and to discourage childbearing, especially by parents who will raise children in truth. So that's the end of the statement.
Yeah, and I thought it was worth highlighting that.
It's pretty good.
Because it kind of wraps up and summarizes all that I've been talking about and saying. Obviously, he's more eloquent than I am, but, you know, hey, what do you expect? He's a Supreme Court justice, and I'm just a redneck talk show host, you know, but we understand the same kind of fundamental principles. And the whole goal is to defend God's law. It is about God, and it is about family, and it is about country. So there you have it. All right, without further ado, Stuart Rhodes, oathkeepers.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Good morning, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Hope you're doing well. Also, are you in Texas?
I am in Texas. Been here for a week.
At the border?
Yes, we have been. We've flown over the border again. I took Chris Cox, Bikers with Trump, on a flight.
Wait, you took who?
Chris Cox, the founder of Bikers for Trump.
Okay, fantastic.
And we took him on, first we went down to Eagle Pass, which is where the caravan is on the other side of Mexico. And we got a tour from a local ex-law enforcement officer who's also a Marine Corps vet. And he gave us a tour of the situation down there. And I took Chris Cox, Bikers with Trump, over on an aerial flight over the border as well.
Well, how do you take Donald on that reconnaissance mission, sir?
Good question. That'd be great. That's what he needs to do. He really needs to just hop in a plane and fly the length of the border so he can have a real serious understanding of the situation on the ground.
Well, we're hoping for that. Donald Trump declaring an emergency. And I personally think the emergency over the a wall is not really, in my opinion, doing justice to the real discussion. I agree that certain border fencing and walls and things might be part of the plan. But what we're really talking about is national security, Stuart. And I think when we boil it down to, well, Trump's got to get his beautiful looking wall to make a campaign promise, to make everybody look and feel good, kind of betrays the real discussion that I believe is critical to have.
Well, actually, Dr. Vieira and I had him on the Alex Jones show yesterday. I'm co-hosting all week on Alex Jones. And I had Dr. Vieira on for this exact point. Trump has made a serious error, or he's been advised to make a serious error, by declaring an emergency under the National Emergencies Act of 1976. That gives Congress the authority to then reverse his decision if they want to. It's a great blunder.
Yeah, because they supposedly granted him a privilege, not a God-given right as commander-in-chief. They've given him kind of a privilege under these, quote, guidelines of this term they've created, right?
Exactly. So what happened is that you had some presidents like Truman doing things that really didn't directly relate to national defense, so they wanted to curtail that extra constitutional action, basically. And they said, oh, sure, you can declare an emergency for whatever. You know, they had emergencies for measles, for crying out loud, but we're going to have some control over it. President Trump should act simply as commander-in-chief and deploy the U.S. military, period, full stop. And that would be completely in line with his powers under Article 2 of the Constitution as president and commander-in-chief, and also directly in line with all the statutes that have existed since the founding about the use of the military and when he can and cannot use the military. The Congress has already delegated to the president or laid out for the president to use. And none of those have any kind of a clause that lets Congress go back in and second-guess his decisions. So, as Vera pointed out, this is exactly what the president should do.
And I think the real issue, in my opinion, is when we have 1,100-page bill passed by 535 members of Congress and not a single one of them has read it, that spends $1 trillion. That's the national emergency, sir. How can you sign 1,100 pages that spends $1 trillion you've never read and keep your oath of office, sir? It's not even possible.
Well, of course not. But there is a serious issue. Look, if we don't secure the border, this country's done. Because they're going to flood us with people that they believe will vote socialist. And that's the intent of the left. So that is, it's a national security invasion of this nation.
Yeah, so who will destroy us first? The socialists in Congress that spend us into oblivion and eventually have our enemies call a halt to the con game and demand we pay the debt? Will that melt us down faster, or will they let people come in and vote socialist with vote fraud? Which threat's greater? And I say all of them.
Both. Yeah, all of them. This is their plan. So we have to secure the border, which is exactly why I'm about to issue a call to action in a few minutes here for Americans to come down to the border, starting in Texas, starting just south of Eagle Pass, as a matter of fact, along the border, and show support for the president and also do their part to stop the flow and deter the criminals and the gangbangers and the terrorists the cartels bring across the border. That's going to start next Saturday, a week from Saturday, actually, on March the 2nd, kicking off in Texas. We'll also do the same thing in Arizona, California, and New Mexico.
Email me the press release so I can help promote that, would you please?
I will, absolutely.
All right, so you're inviting people to come down. How do they coordinate their efforts? In other words, how do we make their involvement meaningful?
Well, we're going to have a rally point. I'll just tell you where it's going to be. It's going to be at the intersection of Texas 1021, that's 1021, and Texas 2644, those are the two Texas state highways. And we're going to park along Texas 1021 going south from Eagle Pass along the side of the road, using our vehicles to light up the terrain at night.
And then the goal is to have a rally and have discussions so that people kind of understand. And then the goal is to see how people can volunteer and organize, right?
Well, the goal there is to post up and do our part to stop the flow and to show support for the president, you know, until a wall of troops is what it should be, but until a wall of troops, a wall of patriots. So go out there and show our support, just like the people that flocked to the Alamo from all over the country when Texas took a stand. We need to take a stand again in Texas and let President – this show support for the president and also urging him to deploy the military. It's not just to go there and say, you know, hoorah, he did a good job, and say, hey, President Trump, you need to go further than this. Deploy the military en masse, just like Wilson did in reaction to Pancho Villa raiding across the border in 1916. Deploy the military and secure our border. And also to urge Governor Abbott of Texas to stand up and declare an emergency and deploy his assets along the border, including the National Guard and the Texas State Defense Force. So he needs to step up as the executive of Texas and do a parallel to what Trump is doing to back the president up.
And I think you're wise, because out of all the states that I can look at on the border, what, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas is the most likely to make a stand, huh?
It is. We also have there's a Texas legislator, Kyle Biederman, who's proposed a bill in Texas for Texas to finance and build its own wall.
Okay, so the idea would be the state of Texas would build its own wall and say, look, you know what, the federal government, we can do it ourselves. And that's a brilliant plan, too, where Donald could provide support, but yet, A, the states could do the work. Some states would be willing and some states wouldn't. And Americans are starting to see more and more and more who's who, aren't they?
Exactly. And that way, either way, a wall, I mean, Texas has the largest section of our border. The largest part of our border is in Texas. So that would take care of that. I mean, and it definitely would be working with the White House to the greatest degree that it possibly can. Absolutely.
How likely do you think Abbott is to do something like that? Right now, Abbott's not been too much of a stand-up guy on this, right? Pretty silent?
Well, that's part of the point is to bring Texans together and push their governor to step up and act. Do what he needs to do to secure the state of Texas. Otherwise, Texas is going to turn blue. It's going to go socialist.
Sadly, that's a fact. We'll come back, talk to Stuart Rhodes more in detail about what's happening on the border. Oathkeepers.org, his website, ladies and gentlemen. He's about to post the, what are you calling this? Invitation?
Call to action.
It's an invitation for a call to action, ladies and gentlemen. We the people need to get involved, and if you can't go personally, you can at least help fund those who are going, right? Hold on.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only 7 countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the 9th month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Stuart Rhodes riding shotgun. Oathkeepers.org. He's the president and founder. He's on the Texas border now, about to issue a call to action. Come on down to the border. Show support for the president, the elected president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, ladies and gentlemen. And not only to thank him for doing his best to highlight this critical issue on the border, but then to go a step or two or five or ten further and say, hey, we got to literally understand what's the crisis at the border, what's going on, and do something significant about it, like call in the military and create a real border security plan. Not only are we talking about Donald Trump going further and getting this done, but we're talking about Governor Abbott in the state of Texas to do the same, Stuart. So your call to action is come on down to the border, get to the rally point, help show some solidarity and some effort there. If you can't go, though, you might be able to fund those who are going and help out in other ways, right?
Absolutely. They can go to oathkeepers.org and make a donation that will help keep us going. Barkers for Trump, I just got a phone call from Chris Cox, Barkers for Trump. They're on board as well. They'll be a co-sponsor of our event. And I'm also talking to Latinos for Trump, which I met here in Texas last few days. And hopefully they'll jump on board as well. But other groups that are out there that would like to be co-sponsors, just contact us at contact@oathkeepers.org, and we'll talk. But sure, you bet.
All right, Bikers for Trump and Latinos for Trump are both involved in this, huh?
Well, Bikers for Trump is definitely a go. I'm still reaching out to Latinos for Trump to see if they want to officially support it as well.
All right, but Bikers for Trump are already aboard.
You bet, absolutely.
All right, and Latinos for Trump, what's interesting is the mainstream press doesn't let you know much about this, but there's a lot of people that are Latino that are just as concerned about the breach at the border as we are. I mean, what I mean is this is an American issue, Stuart.
Well, absolutely. You know, last week I was at the El Paso rally that Trump held, the first rally for his campaign for 2020, and about a quarter of the audience were Hispanic patriots, which was no surprise to me. But, you know, of course, the media completely ignores that. But a lot of them are, you know, what they call Tejanos, people from Texas who, you know, their ancestors fought at the Alamo. And they're hardcore patriots. They're flag waving, you know, they salute the flag, they stand for the national anthem, they serve the country. And that's who supports Trump here in Texas, big time. But the leftist media don't want you to know that. Their lie is that only white people support Trump.
Wow, there you go. That's important to kind of understand, folks. They want to call us racist and everything else. Look, this has nothing to do with it. It has to do with everything to do with legal and illegal and everything to do with stopping criminals. And everything to do with making sure that Americans are safe. I mean, isn't that the bullet point discussion?
Well, that and also, like Teddy Roosevelt said long ago, we want people that are going to assimilate and become American. If you're not coming here to become an American, we don't need you here. I don't care where you're from. I wouldn't want a bunch of Swedes coming here who wanted to bring their socialism with them and didn't want to become Americans either. I could care less what color they are. I don't want socialists.
We want our way of life preserved. Is the point, folks, and it doesn't do well with illegality at the helm. All right, as you've spent more time on the Texas border, I know I've interviewed you before and you said, hey, you know what, the border leaks like a sieve, the drug cartels control the border, et cetera, et cetera. Is there an effort being made to do any security, or is it all talk? But what I mean is, are we making any progress here?
Well, the problem is there, like I was just down in Eagle Pass, and our local tour guide, who's a Hispanic American, Marine Corps vet, he let us know that in that town, 20,000 people, 20,000 Americans is an additional 20,000 illegal aliens. And he pointed out all the bars. He said, he pointed to one bar we drove by and said, that's the cop bar. That's the only bar you guys are safe to go into. All the rest of the bars are owned by the cartels, period. This is a cartel town. They run the town. There's 14 banks in that town of 20,000 legal residents. What's that tell you? You know,
wow, why do they need some banks? Do you believe Donald knows this stuff? I mean, I don't understand how we can't get this stuff to break into the mainstream press for discussion, because it would make Donald's point so easy, right?
Well, I think he does, but I think he's been given horrible legal advice about what he can do about it. They have not gone down the track of commander-in-chief using the military to secure us against what really is a military invasion. Instead, they've got him confined to this, you know, we're going to just only enforce the laws and do a few things here and there that you can do with DHS being the lead in building the wall, which makes no sense. Have the military build it. He's got a massive military budget. What was it, $1.3 trillion? You know, this last one. So when he has all the assets of the military at his disposal, but instead he's trying to, like, move a little bit of money here and there to have DHS build the wall, basically, with contractors. Makes no sense at all.
All right, build the wall rally. It'll be in San Antonio?
No, it's going to be along the highway, along the Rio Grande.
Okay, I know you said that, and then I went to your website, right, and it said something about San Antonio, so I got a little confused.
Yeah, but I'm in San Antonio. That's where I'm at right now.
Just south of
Eagle Pass is where it's going to be, along the Texas Highway that parallels the Rio Grande.
Okay, did President Trump respond to the Oath Keepers salute in El Paso rally?
He did, yeah, absolutely.
What did he say?
Well, he gave us a double like fist pump and a nod, and, you know, gave us a little salute, basically, you know, as he does when he's on the campaign
trail. Why don't we tweet out, Donald Trump, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right at the border, my friend?
Well, definitely.
Come on down, brother.
Absolutely. We will. We're holding a Trump rally on the border.
I'm just saying, that's what we need to talk about, though. We need to use clever phrasing,
right,
to highlight this and make this to where it catches on. We got to somehow bust this through the press to where these real discussions, because I believe the people are behind your point, Stuart. I really do.
Oh, I think so, too. It's just the president can't hear it. So, I mean, I think we're going to work on getting it in front of him in writing. Here is what you should be doing. Here's how you can make this better. Because his declaration right now puts him in the weakest position legally possible, because he leaves himself open to being second-guessed by Congress. He needs to act as commander-in-chief. So we'll try to get that message to him. That's another purpose of this rally.
We got a row to hoe, that's for sure, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot going on. But good things are happening, though, and more people are starting to get the picture. And we are getting the word out, as slow but sure as it seems to be. We are making a difference. How about the media? Are they covering your presence down there?
Well, we haven't started yet, so we'll see. I'm sure we'll get negative press like crazy. That's why it's important when people go there, understand the eyes of the country and the world will be on you, to make sure you're acting professional, and we're going to have absolutely zero tolerance for any racist nonsense. Any neo-Nazis or white nationalists that show up will be shown, being put down the road, basically.
All right. That's important to understand, folks. There's a lot going on. And let me ask you, some of these drug-controlled towns or cartel-controlled towns, do you think most people in the town, the 20,000 residents, are really aware that they live in a drug cartel-controlled town? Or do you think most people are just kind of oblivious of it?
A little bit of both. A lot of it's kind of like don't ask, don't tell. They just don't really care. It doesn't affect them. It's kind of like the mob, right? When the mob ran Chicago or other cities, as long as you didn't cross them, you really didn't see it on the surface. But everyone kind of knew. You know, that's kind of how it is.
It's kind of like how the mobs control Vegas, too, isn't it?
Right, exactly. It's the same thing. You know, as long as you're on the good side of them, then no big deal. Go on with your life. But if you go on the wrong side of them, you want about in the desert. Same thing here.
All right. Is some towns more controlled than others the border, or are they all controlled?
I would say your border counties, they vote predominantly Democrat. And part of the reason is long ago, the radical La Raza types took over politically along the border. And, of course, they bring in illegal aliens. And then the relatives of illegal aliens will vote Democrat because they support the open borders, too. So you wind up, then you wind up with how many illegal voters, you know, who knows? I mean, how many illegals are actually voting in the elections along those borders in those counties? It's a very corrupt system.
What about the idea? A lot of people have been promoted in the news saying, look, you know what? We live on one side of the border, work and go to school on the other. We go back and forth all the time. The idea of closing the border is absurd. What do you say to those people?
Well, we're not going to close the border. We're just going to close it to illegal crossing. If you've got a work visa or otherwise if are allowed to come across to work, great. Come through the port of entry and come to work each day and go back to whatever you're going to do. That's fine. But we're talking about there was illegal entry, which is just wide open. The cartel can, you know, and they bring women and children across as sex slaves in the United States. And then, of course, you know, the coyotes are notorious for raping women when they just want to get here for whatever purpose. So that's what we're talking about. Why would they ever want to keep that flowing open? We're not talking about legal crossing. That's fine. That's a red herring.
And the reason that I bring it up is I want people to understand, not only is it a red herring, it is possible to do both, and that's the part they won't admit to. They won't discuss.
It's called the gate. You have a gate in the wall, and you have, obviously you would have the ports of entry with highways and railway lines, as you always have. You still have that, but in between you have a wall, and you need the men to control it. It's the other part of the equation that's being missed. President Trump, even if he built a wall, like a solid concrete wall all the way across the United States, without enough men to patrol it, it would still be circumvented. It would be, eventually.
And the other thing to understand, and this is something not focused on either that I think needs to be, we need to get rid of all the handouts once they get here. The second they set foot on American soil, they just have all kinds of gravy train-esque handouts that we've got to stop, too.
And, oh, yeah, absolutely. And, of course, that's the long-term solution to a lot of it. But you're never going to get a chance to ever reform that and get rid of the welfare state if they bring in new socialist voters by the millions. And that's the intent. That's why that's the answer. I have a lot of libertarians that say, well, the real solution is to end the drug war and, you know, end the welfare state. I'm like, yeah, sure. But meanwhile, the left, the socialists in this country, like Cortez, who's the most notorious one down in Congress, are planning, and she said openly, all Latinos, anybody of Hispanic origin has a right to be here. And that's their plan. Is to make it a racial issue and act like we're racist. We don't want illegal aliens here. And flood us with people that they will then give the vote.
Yeah, Cortez is ignorantly saying, come on in, baby, take your coat off. But she doesn't even understand what she's talking about. She doesn't understand the criminal activity that's going on.
Oh,
she's been shielded her whole life, right?
She understands. Don't let her off the hook. She's a devout Marxist. This is what I believe. I believe she's a devout Marxist following the Marxist revolutionary plan laid out by the Weather Underground back in 72. Which is to focus on identity politics, racial identity in particular, and bring this country to its knees using that tactic.
Do you think she's used as a pawn and doesn't really realize the depth and breadth of the discussion, or do you think she really is fully in the know?
No, I believe that just like the Larraza Marxists who use race among the Hispanic community to attempt to turn them against their own country, I think she's fully knowledgeable about what they're doing. I really do. I think this is the plan, just like in Europe, is to flood us with people from the third world who will not assimilate, who they believe will be compliant serfs and help them solidify a permanent lock on power. That's what I believe.
Ladies, is there anybody in the Trump administration that we can get to that would help work on this in a meaningful way? I mean, somehow we've got to get to somebody to highlight this and force it into the news.
On that. Bikers for Trump has contacts, and I also know some other Texans here who have contacts, and that's the goal, is to put this stuff directly in President Trump's hands and make sure that he hears it straight from us.
Well, I hope while you're filling in for the Alex Jones show, Alex might be up there talking to the Donald about it, and maybe we can have traction there. Alex's show is Behind Enemy Lines, right from Texas, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if that's really happening. By the way, I don't have any knowledge of that, ladies and gentlemen, so don't take inference from that. I'm just hoping that we can get somebody that can get to President Trump and highlight this issue and force the mainstream press. The issue is honesty.
I believe we can. And that's why we're doing this in Texas. That's why I'm here. Exactly right.
Call to action, ladies and gentlemen. Read it. Get involved in any way you possibly can. Oathkeepers.org. Godspeed, sir.
And we have a sale special right now on our membership, too. So please come join.
Oathkeepers.org. Get involved today. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back soon.
All right. God bless.
Thank there you go. Stuart Rhodes always doing a phenomenal job. For Sam and Kurt and Stuart, we declare we the people. Along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved, ladies and gentlemen. Make it a great day and choose the right. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.